A reading from the Passion History. When they had sung a hymn, Jesus went out as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all be offended because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all the others deny you, I will never deny you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter said more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all others said likewise. They went over the brook Kidron and came to a place which was called Gethsemane. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. And when he was at the place, he said to them, "Sit down here while I go on ahead and pray. Pray that you do not enter into temptation." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be full of sorrow and turmoil. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Wait here and watch with me." He went on a little from them, about a stone's throw. He fell on his face and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and he prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." In agony, he prayed more earnestly, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." His sweat fell on the ground like great drops of blood. When he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, your will be done." When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you sleeping still and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Look, the one who betrays me is here." Even while he was saying this, Judas, one of the 12, came with a detachment of officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They came to the place with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went out to them and said, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am." Judas, who betrayed him, had taken his stand with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I told you that I am. If I am the one you seek, then let these others go." This was to fulfill the word he had spoken, "Of those you gave me, I have lost none." Now he that was betraying Jesus had given them a sign, saying, "The one whom I kiss, that is he. Seize him, and be sure to take him away securely." He went straight up to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come? Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" They came then and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. When those who were about him saw what would happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus answered, "No more of that." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you imagine that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it? Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders who had come out against him, Have you come out as against a thief with swords and clubs to take me? When I was with you day after day, teaching in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour, and the hour of the power of darkness. All this has happened that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. There was a certain young man who followed along. He had only a linen cloth about his naked body. They laid hold of him, but he slipped out of the linen cloth and fled away naked. Then the detachment and its captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who gave counsel to the Jews that would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Those who had arrested Jesus brought him to the high priest's house, where the scribes and elders were assembled. Peter followed him afar off, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So that other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. He went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He was warming himself at the fire they had kindled in the middle of the courtyard. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the whole council were seeking evidence that might make the case for a death sentence, but they could not find any. Many bore false witness against him, but their statements did not agree. Two stepped forward and said, We heard him say, I shall destroy this temple made with hands, and after 3 days I shall build another not made with hands. But even on this point their evidence did not agree. Then the high priest stood up, moved to the center, and put this question to Jesus. Do you have no answer? What is this evidence they have given against you? But he was silent and gave no answer. Again the high priest put a question to him and said, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God's power and coming with the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his garments and said, Do we still need any witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your opinion? And they all agreed that he was deserving of death. Then some of them began to spit on him. They blindfolded him, struck him, and said to him, Prophesy to us, O Christ. Who is it that struck you? The guards beat him as they took him away. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maidservants of the high priest came and saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him closely as he sat in the light of the fire and said, You also were along with the man from Nazareth, that Jesus. Peter denied it and said, I do not know what you mean. He went out to the forecourt. Another maidservant saw him there and said to those who were standing around, This man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Peter denied it again with an oath, I do not know the man. A little later, those standing around said to Peter, Surely you are one of them, you are a Galilean. Your accent gives you away. Peter started calling down curses on himself and swore, I do not know the man. And immediately while he was still speaking, the cock crowed a second time. And the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Peter broke down and went out and wept bitterly. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes held the court session with all the Sanhedrin. Then they bound him, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. Then Judas, who had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, was sorry, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, I have betrayed innocent blood. They said, What is that to us? That is your affair. Judas threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. He went and hanged himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. That is why to this day that field has been called the field of blood. In this way was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by the children of Israel, and gave them for the potter's field. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Tonight's reading from the Passion History gives us three stories simultaneously. There's Judas betraying Christ and then agonizing over what he had done. There is Peter, confident that he will defend Christ, but failing utterly when the time came. And then there is Jesus, who had no sin, no failure in this night, no failure of his own, and yet he bears great injustice. And he does it without complaint. If you are looking for an example to follow of these three, surely it is Christ. And yet, which of us must ever bear our wrongs as he does, as if they were a pure injustice without any sin of our own? How much easier is it for us, rather, who do not have the high ground, as Christ did, to instead become angry nevertheless, self-defensive, and self-righteous in the face of anyone who would harm or judge me. Far more instructive to us are the twin examples of Peter and Judas. Here we see two of Jesus' disciples and two sinners. And in truth, is there much difference between their two sins? Judas betrayed Jesus. He sold him out, literally, for 30 pieces of silver. He pretended to be his friend, only to destroy him. He even used one of the most intimate friendship symbols, a kiss, in order to stab him in the back. And Peter was given the chance to say something very simple, something that each of us will also be called upon to say many times and in various ways in our life. That is to say, I am a Christian. I'm with Jesus. And instead, Peter denied having anything to do with him, all in order to save himself a little discomfort. Both of these men, in the matter of a few hours, prove themselves to be traitors to their Lord's name. Traitors at the moment when it really mattered. The first thing that we learn from this is that Christians are sinners. No less than the Apostle Peter himself fell into such grave sin. Now, it should be self-evident that you and I am no Peter. He was greater. He was a more famous person than you and I ever will be. He is a greater saint, even. He's remembered in every church of every age. And yet, he was a sinner, a traitor of Christ, even. And he was his follower. You then, O sinner, you have a place in this church too. The second thing we learn is that it is not okay that Christians too are sinners. This is not something to be proud of or something to consider part of your identity. We must own this, but what that means is we must acknowledge it. We must admit it, and that with sorrow. It is shameful to be a sinner, a traitor. It is shameful to be a person whose word is not trustworthy. Judas, the betrayer, cannot be trusted. Peter, the denier, is a liar. You also are a person who says one thing and then does another. Now mark well that neither Peter nor Judas are unaffected by this realization. They do not shrug and say, well, nobody's perfect. They do not defiantly say, you need to appreciate me for who I am. Appreciate me for my imperfections. No. They both have deep regret. They are uncomfortable with themselves. And they have not fallen for all of the self-esteem training of our age, which encourages us constantly to love ourselves no matter what, even to embrace what is flawed or what is disgusting in ourselves. Now, thank God, even in our day, the vast majority of people I know are still very bothered by liars and bothered by cheaters. Even if they don't believe in marriage, they still believe in cheating somehow. Well, we want people of integrity, don't we? That's good. Now, take that accusation and point it in on yourself and see where your integrity is lacking. The third thing that we learn takes a little more consideration, though. We've heard how the story ends. We know that there is a great difference between Judas and Peter. One of them is restored. He goes on to be a great preacher of the gospel, one of the apostles, maybe even the greatest. Indeed, he goes on even to the point of being crucified himself for the gospel. What a happy irony, considering he was unwilling to do that the night when Christ was betrayed. But the other man is the reason that the gospels have to use from there on the sad phrase that there is the 11 meeting together. Peter and Judas could not be more different in the end. Peter lives. Judas takes his own life. Peter is one we call apostle. We call him Saint Peter. And Judas remains nameless, even though he is mentioned every Sunday when we hear that our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. Peter went on to die a Christian, and Peter was also the man who lamented that Judas turned aside and went to his own place. We are tempted to say that the difference between Peter and Judas is repentance. Peter's repentance was true and Judas's wasn't. But here's the stunning thing about the text. Judas and Peter were both very sorry for what they had done. Peter wept bitterly when Christ looked at him. But the Bible also says explicitly that Judas was sorry when he realized that Jesus was condemned. If repentance meant that, as we usually say it does, if repentance means to be sorry for your sins, to wish that you had not done them, or to regret the outcome, then we must say that Judas had tremendous repentance. He was very sorry. But what he did not have was faith. He was sorry that he had done it, but he did not believe that God would forgive him. And thus he despaired. He had no hope at all. Now, despair has its place. If you are a Christian, in fact, you must despair. You must despair of yourself. You must deny yourself, Jesus says. Take up your cross and follow Him if you would be one of His disciples. Peter obviously had not yet despaired of himself very much at all. He was talking back to Jesus at the beginning of the night, telling Jesus how he'd never deny Him. Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I'll die with you. Apparently, even later that night, after Jesus was arrested and Peter had already abandoned Him, Peter hadn't given up hope in himself yet, because he was still there trying to save himself, lying, even cussing a little to preserve his own life and get away in the courtyard. But when Peter's conscience was struck by the rooster's crow, then he most certainly did lose hope and despair of himself. Fishermen like Peter don't cry lightly. And it says that he wept bitterly. Peter recognized that he was hopeless. And we must have this much despair also. Those who are well have no need of a physician. Those who have no true knowledge of their sin or have no terrors, have no fear of God, they are in deep trouble, as they do not know what is afflicting them. God's law must convict us of sin. It must get us to own up to it, that is, to admit it with great sorrow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We must believe Jesus when He says that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich and self-satisfied person to be saved. Jesus goes on to say that with man it is impossible to be saved. But with God, all things are possible. And the all things that Jesus was talking about is specifically salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, which means that despair must come to an end. Hopelessness in ourselves is right, but that hopelessness must find hope somewhere else. And there is only one such hope. It is Jesus Christ. True repentance has two parts. It's definitely the first part, terrors of conscience from the knowledge of sin. But it also includes and must include that faith which seeks the forgiveness and the comfort of God in Christ Jesus. Repentance does not just mean turning away in disgust from your sins. It also means turning toward Christ in faith. Now, just as there can be no true faith without contrition and sorrow and recognizing your sins, so just as surely repentance that is without faith, this leads to despair. This is what Judas had, sadly. We see it in him. He was sorry for his sins. He was struck with the terrors of a conscience that was working very well. But what he did not hear is the word of the free forgiveness in Christ that can make such a working, guilty conscience a clean one. Judas returned to the church of the Pharisees and the chief priests. That is, he returned to the church of those who are self-righteous, who by no means ever despair of their own abilities. So is it any surprise to us what answer they gave when Judas came contrite and confessing his sin? They said, "What is that to us? You go see to it yourself." That's what Judas had already come trying to do. He brought back the silver pieces. He was trying to pay for his sin, trying to undo it, trying to take it back and make up for it in some way. And they said, you must make satisfaction for your own sins. You must go and find your own atonement, they said. Well, Judas tried that. Judas sacrificed himself with a noose. Satan will always nurture the idea of self-esteem, and he will do it to the bitter end. He wants us never, ever to despair of our own ability and righteousness. Because if we did that, then we might, in our desperation, call out to God for mercy and seek His righteousness instead. So first the devil turns us away from ever acknowledging our sins. In the end, though, he wishes to turn us away from acknowledging the Savior. He wants us to believe that the hope is in ourselves. But then he wants us to believe it so much that there is no hope to be found anywhere else, so that when we fail, then we will be truly hopeless. The difference between Peter and Judas is nothing in them. The difference between Peter and Judas is Christ. Judas did not return to him in his sorrow. Peter had faith along with his contrition. Peter had the one who was not only betrayed, who was not only denied, slapped, beaten, ultimately crucified, but who bore all of this precisely for him. In despair of ourselves, dear Christians, we must look to Christ Jesus. We confess our sins and we repent, not in order that we might see to it ourselves, as the priests told to Judas. Much less can we add any works or anything at all on top of our sins to somehow make up for our errors or make satisfaction for them. We confess our sins and we come to the one who does that for us, to the one who forgives sin. We come in confidence, that is, in faith and in hope, knowing and expecting good from Christ. And that truly is what our Lord's passion is about. He goes the way of suffering and death, even at the hands of those that He comes to save. He goes that way of suffering and death so He may make satisfaction for every sin. Jesus sees to it Himself. And thus, when you and every Christian is caught in the gears of a guilty conscience, Christ is the one who cleanses your conscience by His blood, by His promises, by His death and suffering and satisfaction and resurrection. This is the very one who said to Caiaphas, and who said to Annas, and who said to the soldiers and the chief priests, and who said to Peter, and who said even to Judas, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He has shed His precious blood in satisfaction also for each of them, for Caiaphas, for Annas, for the soldiers, for the chief priests, and for Judas just as surely as for Peter and for you. Despair of yourself, O sinner, but never despair of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.